Look, Conrad, you'll scare him off. Don't catch his eye. None of you look at him.
But the boy who had the answers to half her questions, the boy who had been with her when she found Jenny Donaldson, the boy who had now tried to disguise himself, had recognized her.
Hey!
Panicking, pushed his way to the exit.
Excuse me!
The exit he had chosen said no admittance, theatre personnel only, and consequently, as she followed him through, a protest in a high-pitched voice.
Hey, you can't go in there!
Clattering down the corridor, handing off hapless wardrobe staff collecting costumes, him, her, a member of the theatre staff, and me, somewhat reluctantly at the rear, stumbling into the darkness that leads to the stage. I remember in this order an enormous... yell, a curse.
See a bloody thing!
And her screaming.
Help! Come here, you!
Let go of him, Dee. He can't get out except the way we came.
Let go of me. I've cut my head. I'm not going anywhere.
Who's going to pay for all this?
Cordoba by Nigel Baldwin, with Alison Steadman as D.T. Mitchell.
You should have that stitched.
Her paper would pay, she said calmly. Phone up the editor. Geraint Morgan. She would confirm what happened. Don't bother to call the police. A misunderstanding. And have you got a tissue? He's bleeding badly. We'll have to take him to hospital to get him stitched. I'm not going to hospital, the youth protests. Okay, she says. She'll take him home and clean him up. And in the car, the boy's timid statement about not telling us anything. OK, says D.T. Mitchell, hammering the brakes of her Japanese tin can.
Right leads to the police station, Richard. I know, I'm a journalist, I go there a lot. They wouldn't be dead happy to know you left the scene of a suicide, would they? A friend who hanged herself. You want to go through the official channels? Left leads to my flat. Your choice.
Fait accompli.
Every Friday night in the summer, a bloody reggae party.
I don't drink spirits.
Drink it. Anesthetic. Don't worry, it stopped bleeding.
You ran away that night just because you were scared.
Well, she didn't kill herself, I know that.
What were you scared of?
They were all dead, weren't they? Turner, Stephen, Jenny.
Turner wasn't.
I didn't know that.
Why were you scared? What did you know?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yes. I just knew them. It's irrational, isn't it? You just run away.
That night... You said she was moving to France for good. Was that true?
She wanted to get out. She was scared. After Stephen...
But her and Stephen weren't living together by then.
She moved out about 2 weeks before he was killed. They'd fallen out. I don't know about what.
You and her?
We were just friends. We went to the same creative writing course, Turner's.
How long had her and Stephen been living together?
A year or so.
Did she say anything about being pregnant?
No.
Was it possible?
Unlikely. She was run down. She got badly ill with that bug that's going round. Thought it was the same thing, like meningitis that's killing little kids. Only she got better. But she wouldn't have killed herself. She wouldn't. It wasn't in her vocabulary, man.
Why not? If she was in love with Stephen and Stephen was dead? Remorse about leaving him? Guilt?
Jenny wasn't in love with Stephen. Stephen was gay.
I'm sorry.
It was Raymond Turner she was in love with. They'd been together for over a year.
Are you saying... Oh, wait a minute. Why on earth were Jenny and Stephen living together?
Jenny wanted to be near Turner, but Turner was a writer. Didn't take kindly to sharing his space. He introduced her to Stephen. Stephen had a biggish house and welcomed the opportunity to have a woman sharing. It suited everyone.
Why welcome a woman sharing?
Oh, Stephen worked for an American company, Kildo International. They do a lot of agricultural and biological research, which leads to marketing drugs that can make a fortune. These are industrial secrets. Anyone who can be blackmailed...
Kildo are about to close their operation in Wales.
People are vetted for those jobs. Anyone who could be subject to blackmail... They prefer stable, happily married, nuclear family types.
And Jenny wasn't living with Turner because he wanted space?
A bit more than that. Mad Alex, the daughter, was often around, to coin Jenny's phrase. Alex didn't approve of her father's young women. If they were the same age as her, she saw them as his surrogate daughters and would get madly jealous. Turner had to keep his affairs secret. He was always afraid she'd go off her rocker again.
Oh, my brain hurts. Jenny wants to be near Turner. Turner introduces her to Stephen. Stephen welcomes Jenny to his habitat because she's an alibi for his sexual preference. But both Turner and Jenny fall out with Stephen just before he's killed. What did he do? And was it something to do with his job? I just keep going round in circles. Oh, bloody freezing in this country. Middle of summer, too.
Well, it is only 7:30 in the morning.
Okay, Thomas. But I know you're always up at 6. I couldn't sleep a wink last night and I needed someone to talk to. All of a sudden, I'm used to sharing a bed.
And the new man's in London.
Departmental meeting at the BBC.
You want some breakfast before we do the session?
Oh, sorry, Thomas. Got to cancel the session.
Oh,
yes, I know. I'm so untogether, as we used to say.
Not again.
I am aware it's only 2 hours' notice instead of 24, but I'll pay you.
Dee, it's not the money. It's your opportunity to deal...
I know. I'll fix up another one, yes? I'm obviously bad for your blood pressure. No, the thing is, I've got to be in McCuntless by 10. I've tracked down a Mrs. Davis.
Not that difficult in Wales.
Stephen Davis's mother.
It's a nice drive from St. David's. Seaside.
I came from Swansea. Oh, excuse me. Lack of sleep.
Stephen used to work near St. David's.
I know.
He always drove up the coast, him and his girlfriend, Jenny. Poor, poor girl. They came as much as they could, but that wasn't often.
Mrs. Davis?
Ollering. I was born in McCuntless, you know, but I prefer to live outside now, since Mr. Davis passed on. It's not the same since those hippies arrived with their alternative technology centre. This is Sir Stephen when he was 8. That's his sister. 10 years older, Dillis. She looks a bit like you now she's older. Same dark hair, green eyes, same nice smile. Have 2 grandchildren. Stephen was a pretty boy, wasn't he?
Mm.
Never talked about his work. Classified, he called it. You were a good friend, Doris?
Denise, Jenny was my best. We were on a writing course together, so I saw Stephen quite a lot.
You're expecting. You're married, of course.
Oh, yes.
I wanted Stephen to get married and have children. Perhaps they would have done.
Olwyn, I'm trying to trace a friend of ours in France. You knew Stephen had friends in France. I think he's moved, you see. I wondered if there was an address book.
I told him about driving that car. Always drove it too fast. Be the death of me, I told him.
It's quite important, you see.
Address book. Oh, yes, I've got all his stuff.
I hope you don't mind me asking.
I think his mind wandered for a split second. That's all it needs when you're driving fast. He'd been under a lot of stress for some time. Jenny'd been ill. And then 2 of his closest colleagues killed themselves when he was away on his rugby tour in France. Love pact, they call it in the papers, don't they?
What?
2 of his friends at work. They'd fallen in love, but they couldn't get out of their marriages. Religious reasons, I suppose. So they killed themselves. Stephen was so upset. I know. You can tell on the phone if you're a mother. Yes, he used to go to France a lot and see friends there.
Yes, Emma, you're staying late. I thought I was the only person here at dusk in summer.
Did you realise that Winton Abbey wasn't just researching yield increases? It was also involved in genetic and molecular research?
Oh, so what? That's old hat these days. All scientific establishments looking to prevent diseases in animals and in humans are messing about with DNA.
And did you realise that some of Kyoto International's funding came from the US Department of Agriculture and the US Defence Department?
Where'd you get that from?
This.
Peace News. Oh, that bloody lefty ragshit. Still produced with Gestetner, no doubt.
And nobody knows exactly what they research at Winton Abbey on account of the Official Secrets Act and the Medicines Act of 1968.
So?
And why has their funding suddenly been withdrawn?
I give up. What is this, Brain of Britain?
Well, you shouldn't bloody give up. You're the editor of a bloody newspaper. And we missed something else.
What do you mean, we missed something?
You're going to love me for this, you irascible old rogue. The story of your career.
Oh, well, I'm so excited I could climax. Oh, pregnant again, were we? I thought you didn't use that ruse anymore because this paper was beneath you.
Look! Look, look!
What?
Scientists' love pact tragedy. Two scientists from St. David's were found dead in what seems to have been a mysterious love pact. An inquest heard today. Mr. John Crampton, 49, and Sean Jones, 37, were discovered dead in a car from carbon monoxide poisoning. They were locked in what appeared to be a final loving embrace. The court heard they were both married, Mr. Crampton's doctor, giving evidence that... And a doomed love affair could, in some cases, result in suicide. Coroner recorded a verdict of suicide.
And that's the most exciting thing in my career.
It doesn't say where they work, does it?
Why should it?
Facts, my dear editor, facts. Winton Abbey.
Calm down, my girl. You're shaking so much your chest is wobbling.
Oh, not funny, Geraint. And why didn't I notice? Why didn't I remember? Because up until now, I haven't given a monkey's about anything this trash sheet reports.
The Iron here. Charlene phoned from Spain. She's all right. I'm going out there in a couple of weeks. Say hello before I go on to Argentina. Before then, we ought to talk about her coming back to live with you. Can you give us a ring? Oh, by the way, Barry Jones. He doesn't want to be a pain, but he said if you see Raymond Turner's wife again, can you mention his camera once more? £2,000 worth is not much use to a dead ornithologist. He meant it as a joke, but it was bad taste. Hope you're okay, and Conrad, oil.
Shut up, Goneril! Ornithology? Poppycock. If I'd asked him to identify that species of ruddy bird in there, he would have probably said pigeon. The only bird watching he was into was young girls and students, and the less I knew about it, the better. I didn't want Alex knowing his insatiable appetites. They moved her to a psychiatric hospital, you know. Ruddy Milford Haven.
Didn't he use a camera to take photos for research?
I don't know. He might have done. You could ask him, couldn't you, if we weren't consigning him to the spirit writers in the sky for the second ruddy time. Just a passing shadow, eh? Well, he's taking a long time to pass out of my ruddy life.
Relax.
I'm sorry, Thomas. I can't keep my mind on therapy. Maybe when all this is over, I'll come for a crash course. You know, 20 sessions a day.
Is the music getting in the way?
No, Thomas. Against all odds, I like your spiritual music. Do you mind if I have a drink?
There's always one here for you.
Oh, you know, you're the only really non-judgmental person I know. And the only person I know who's incapable of lying. I think I trust you more than anyone.
You flatter me. What about Conrad?
How long have I known him, Thomas?
Maybe you'll get closer as the time...
You know me, Thomas. I can't stand being alone and I can't stand being with someone. Eternal paradox.
It's a pattern, isn't it? In your life, we have to change the patterns.
It's the only story I've had since I've been here. I can't go building nests right now. What do you think of my theory?
Feasible. Makes sense of the camera.
I reckon I'm going to have to go to France.
Mrs. Davies helpful?
I've got some numbers. You know, if my theory's only half correct, then Cordoba's an understatement.
What?
Raymond Turner's code word for an unmitigated disaster. Mutated from its original meaning, as his wife puts it. Much like the Welsh language, boyo.
D. Cordoba was the operation call sign for the calf raid on Winton Abbey.
What raid on Winton Abbey?
Oh, about a year ago, about 12 or so, broke in.
Hang on, there was no raid on Winton Abbey.
There was a raid. It was denied, but there was one.
Well, Kildo denied it. The police denied it. There was nothing in the papers, nothing in my paper.
You were in Nicaragua.
Are you saying Geraint was nobbled?
There was a raid. Limited effectiveness, but there was one. They would have had evidence, but they were rumbled and the camera got broken in the panic.
When I asked you if you knew anybody in Calf before...
I don't know anybody. I just hear about what they do.
Gordon Bennett.
What is it?
The raid on Winton Abbey was roughly a year ago. Jenny Donaldson got together with Turner just over a year ago. Turner's favourite swear word was Cordoba. And Alex saw a piece of paper on his desk with the words Winton Abbey circled... and an arrow pointing to the word Cordoba, with a date beside it, about a year ago, and not in Turner's handwriting. So what was Jenny up to? Sugar!
You do that again, Samantha, and you're out! Can you read the signs?
Very nice leisure centre.
Not here, I'll lose my job.
I have to supplement my grant somehow. Not at work.
Then why don't we step outside for a minute?
I don't know anything else. Leave me alone, will you?
This is Geraint. I brought him along because, well, I'm only a woman, and you can see he's a big bloke.
Moreira?
I mean, if it became a physical contest...
I've got nothing more to tell you.
Let's just step outside, because if you don't, maybe I let the police know you ran away the night we discovered Jenny's body.
Just popping outside for a sec, Sean. Oh, it's raining.
Oh, diddums.
When you mean a good boat, you can come under the brolly.
How did you know where to find me?
Nutbush city limits.
What?
Jenny was on that calf raid at Winton Abbey, wasn't she? Wasn't she? Very convenient to be sharing a house with Stephen. Double bonus. Near to her lover and living with someone who could provide information about the laboratories. Innocuous to him, but not to her. I mean, he didn't suspect she was calf. Otherwise, he couldn't justify living with her. And that's why they painted red swastikas over his house to cover her tracks. Jenny was calf, Richard, yes?
Yes.
And so were you. You weren't friends because you were neighbours or because you were on a creative writing course. You were friends because you're calf activists, right?
If you know so much...
What was Jenny's role in it?
Answer her, boy.
Your lot painted red swastikas all over my car. Cost me a fortune to get that off and you can still see the marks.
Why would we want to do that to your car? Red swastikas are reserved for vivisectionists.
And some bastard threatened me when I left Winton Abbey.
Well, why should Carr threaten a journalist? Doesn't make sense. We need the publicity.
Come on, Richard. A little more of Jenny's and your CV.
Jenny was the regional organiser.
Did she organise the raid on Winton Abbey?
Don't think I'm going to give you names.
Did Turner know of this raid?
Jenny got the call sign from him. Cordova.
Was he on it?
No.
Did anything unusual happen?
A raid is unusual. Takes a lot of organising. You need skills. Planning. Breaking and entering.
Bunch of amateur crooks.
Well, you believe in Nita's suffering, do you?
But this didn't go according to plan.
That was a disaster. Hadn't done the recceing properly. Security men everywhere. We managed to release about 10 calves and half a dozen cows before we were discovered. The video camera got smashed in the chaos. We had no evidence, nothing. Press didn't believe us.
That, my boy, is because you're always claiming to do things you didn't.
Kildo International denied it. Bad publicity for them if they're not secure.
Anything strange happen?
Like what?
I don't know. Someone fall over? Get hurt?
Everyone falls over. It's not like a well-executed commando raid from a Hollywood movie. Jenny got bitten by a calf.
Oh, that's nice. You do an animal a favour.
Hardly unusual. The animals are terrified. They've been through enough pain. They don't know we're there to help them rather than hurt them.
So how do you hide a cow when you're trying to get them out? Under your jumper?
There's farms all around. We just pushed them into neighbouring fields through gaps we'd cut in the fences. Didn't achieve much. I suppose they would have recovered most of them in 3 or 4 days.
This is unbelievable. Do you know what you could have done? Bloody do-gooders!
What?
Do you realise what you might have done?
Bonjour. Puis je parle avec Gary Marlowe. Je suis un sûr d'un ami que s'appelle Stephen Davis. Je m'appelle Dillis. Dillis Davis.
I don't believe this. A stupid cow.
Hiya, Conrad, my bullet-headed friend. I don't know when you're coming back to good old Wales, but when you do, you will probably find that I am in La France. C'est la vie. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Not to worry, my friend. I'll see you in a couple of days. I cracked it, baby. By the way, it wasn't Carr who threatened me. It was someone who wanted me to think it was them. Muchos besos.
Bugger it.
Why are you angry?
Because she's gone to France, Alex, and she might be in danger. Besides, she's not who she makes out she is.
What does that mean?
I've just been to London. A friend of mine at the BBC has access to files, NUJ files. Dee's not a journalist. She's only been a member of the union since she came to Swansea.
I don't understand.
Alex, If Dee gets in touch or comes to see you without me, will you let me know?
She won't come and see me. I've seen her car. It's going to crash.
Oh, come on.
I've seen it. No one believes me. No one comes to see me. Mom, no one. They think I'm nuts. They say this is a hospital, but it's not. It's a prison.
Alex, I'm sorry to be brutal, but you must let me know if Dee gets in touch.
The police won't come to question me, you know. Even though they've admitted it was my dad in PJs. What's the matter? Ain't I worth a visit?
Bonjour, madame. Qu'est-ce que vous voulez?
Café au lait, s'il vous plaît. Est-ce qu'il y a le bar Brasserie Saint-Germain?
Oui, madame.
Connais-vous un homme qui s'appelle Gary Marlowe? Nous avons... supposed to be meeting. Nous avons un rendez-vous ici.
I'm Gary Marlowe. You must be Stephen's sister.
Dillis. Dillis Mitchell. Mitchell is my married name.
I'm sorry, I didn't realise that... The baby must be nearly due. The journey must have been very tight.
Oh, no. Another month yet. Oh, don't worry, I'm used to it. This is my fourth.
What do you mean? A bloody
spy? Stop mumbling, Geraint. I can't hear a word.
That's because I live in mumbles. Look, why on earth should Dee be working for a security agency?
I didn't say she was. I said it was a possibility, just a theory.
It's a preposterous, nay, ludicrous, nay, ludicrously and preposterously absurd theory. Just because she was in Nicaragua.
Okay, and now, at the drop of a hat, she's got a flight to France. Is that usual for a provincial journalist on a paper like this?
Dee Mitchell is hardly usual, then. She was once a big cheese in Fleet Street.
Oh, yes. Did you follow up her references when she came to you for a job?
I suppose she's going to charge it on expenses. A bloody French trip.
Did she show you them?
References? She had two brilliant references, man. A tight little bum and splendid chest muscles. What other references does a man need?
Oh, very professional.
For me, I've been trying to get beyond a Nikolai for a year.
Geraint!
All Dee is a piss artist. We have something in common. And I gave her a job because I fancied her. Okay? A moron could do this stuff these days. You married?
No.
Ever been?
No.
I never trust a man who's never been divorced. Mm. You know what? I got a very strange bill this morning from the Welsh Crescent Theatre Company for some lights, sanctioned by D.T. Mitchell. What's she up to? Some form of Sonne Lumiere?
Thomas, just listen to me, will you? For all I know, your phone's tapped.
Why should my phone be tapped?
Because you know me. I don't know. Call me paranoid, schizophrenic, whatever you like as my therapist, but as my friend, just listen to me, please.
Okay.
I might be being followed.
Oh,
Dee. I parked my car at Gatwick. I came out to get it and someone moved away, sharpish.
A thief?
Thomas, just listen. You know the pub we used to meet in on Thursday nights in the days when you were drinking?
Yes, but...
Don't say its name. I'll meet you there in 4 hours. And don't ask questions. I'm on my way back from the airport with a little bit of dynamite.
4 hours, she says.
The M4 was chocker. Kiss me.
What?
Kiss me, Thomas. Here, like you mean it.
What?
Like a long-lost lover who can't wait to get me into bed.
I'm old enough and ugly enough to be your father. What on earth?
That guy at the door is following me. Since I came off the motorway, I went all round the houses as well. Parked at my place and got a cab here. Stuck to me like super glue.
Are you sure? I mean, it is almost dark.
Of course I'm sure. Okay, now, slide your hands down to my back pockets.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, for God's sake, Thomas, this is no time to be coy. I don't care if you touch my bum. Do you feel a lump?
Two?
Oh, Thomas.
Yes.
It's a cassette. Now, take it out and slip it up your sleeve. That's it. Got it?
I think so.
Oh, God, I've missed you. I've missed you so much, my darling, my darling.
Steady on.
Safe?
Got it.
Oh, lovely. What would you like to drink?
I think I'll just visit the gents before it slips out, if you'll excuse the expression.
If he was following you, how come he had a pint of Guinness and left?
Oh, I don't know, Thomas. Don't split hairs. I've no idea how these people work.
Come on, I'll get you inside.
Oh, don't get fresh with me, Thomas. Besides, I couldn't possibly have had far too much.
You don't want me to do anything.
Just hold on to it, if you'll excuse the expression. Now, don't listen to it. You're better off not knowing, anyway. Anyway, there's personal stuff on there as well.
For Conrad?
For Conrad. Now, remember, I trust you more than anyone. I'll come and get a copy tomorrow, but if anything should happen to
what
me...
What on earth, like?
I don't know. I might get the call to Hollywood. If it does, just get it to Conrad, right? Driver, take this man home. And be careful. Whoever followed me saw us together.
Thomas told me he dropped her off that night. It might have helped if he'd gone in with her, provided some moral support. She'd had far too much to drink, and he might have been able to console her when she found her flat decimated.
Oh,
every drawer and cupboard ransacked, every painting off the wall, the canvas of one of her better ones, of Lake Managua at sunset, ripped with a sharp object.
Oh, God, the bastards! The bastards!
Despite what she'd learnt in France, I don't know whether she would have tried to phone me if she hadn't discovered the break-in.
Director inquiries, which town, please?
BBC Cardiff.
I wasn't at home, so she tried me at work. I'd always asked her not to because my boss gets so irritable with personal calls unless it's an absolute emergency. But this had the genuine hallmarks.
BBC Cardiff.
Yes, I want to speak to Conrad there. I don't know, newsroom, I suppose.
I guess it was gone 10, and at the time I wouldn't have been there anyway. As it was, I'd gone to Milford Haven for the night. I was visiting Alex Turner in hospital the next morning, and I needed a night away. There would have hardly been any staff at BBC Cardiff when she phoned, but there would have been the duty officer.
Jesus Christ! Jesus! Jesus, I don't believe this!
And presumably, she phoned Alex that night, or phoned the hospital, for Alex had got the message when I arrived the next morning.
Oh, why can't I get hold of anyone? Oh, leave a message with a divvy nurse because Alex is sedated. Why can't I... Thomas engaged.
Thomas told me later. It was an hysterical client who was on the phone for 2 hours.
Oh, how can I be so... Get off the phone, Thomas! Get off the phone! Oh, panic, I've got to talk to you. Car keys. Car keys. In your bag, stupid tart. Oh, come on. Police out together, come on. Keys. Oh, what do you think those are? I don't believe it. That's the last straw. That's the last bloody straw.
Oh, God, Priscilla. Priscilla, I'm sorry, eh?
Friend of wood.
Come on, I need to get a suit.
Okay.
Mr. Griffiths?
Who is it, Yaya?
Policeman. Yes, I'm Yaya Griffiths.
Relation to Denise Teresa Mitchell?
My wife. Well, we divorced.
Well, the car was registered at this address.
Yeah, well, it was less likely to... Less car thefts, cheaper insurance than if she registered it at her place. We had an arrangement. Sometimes she stayed...
I'm afraid we've got some bad news. There's been a road accident. Mrs. Mitchell's been killed. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to ask you to formally identify the body.
In episode 5 of Cordoba by Nigel Baldwin, Alison Steadman was Dee and Bill Stewart Conrad. Robin Griffith was Geraint, Robert Pugh, Yeyan, and Alan Towner, Thomas. Leslie Rooney was Alex, Gudrun Ewer, Tina, and Sue Jones-Davis, Bethan. Pam Hopkins played Olwen, Ian Target, Richard, and Andrew Wincott, Gary. Original music was by Laurie Scott Baker. Cordoba is directed in Wales by Jane Dauncey.
Tomorrow, who died? Why did they die? Did they die? It's a complicated one, this, but we'll sort it all out here at the same time tomorrow.
This is
BBC Radio 4
Extra.
Extra.
Steve Urquhart, and this is BBC Radio 4 Extra on digital and on BBC Sounds. It's now time for some comedy. For this hour, we've delved into the archive.